This is Bedside, a podcast series on a mission to debunk sex. I'm your host, Tatiana, and each week we uncover stories, ideas, and expert information to help guide you on your ever-evolving journey of deep love, relationships, and good sex. Oh, and a little bit of manifestation sprinkled in there too. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Bedside Podcast. I'm so excited to have you guys here this week. Happy Wednesday. Happy full pink moon. I guess that was yesterday, but I fully believe the effects of the full moon are for at least 24 hours, if not 48 hours. And I was cracking myself up because I was kind of looking up this full moon and I was like, wait, is the moon actually going to be pink? And it isn't. It wasn't. The reason that it is called the pink moon is because it is the first full moon of springtime, and it is around this time that a lot of blooms are flourishing, and I was reading up that like certain pink flowers are in bloom around this time, and so that is why it's called the full pink moon. But I thought that was so adorable, and if you haven't gotten to it already, this is the perfect time to do your April journal prompts. I know in the last solo episode, I chatted a lot about the April journal prompts and kind of like some of the things I was going through with all of that. So definitely tune in because that episode very much kind of connects to the continuing astrology of this time and very much this like spring cleaning era that we're all in. So anyways, just a little fun thing for you guys to incorporate into your rituals this week. I will link that in the show notes, but if you head to At The Bedside on Instagram, you will find those April journal prompts right there. Also, I just got back from my week-long vacation away. I went to Europe. I was in Paris and London, and I will do a proper episode dedicated to this, but my moral of the story is buy the freaking plane ticket. Like, just if you can, do that for yourself. It is so incredible. I truly feel so refreshed, and I feel the effects of it since coming back, which I always think is so amazing after taking some time away for yourself, whether or not that's like flying internationally or just like taking a nice long weekend for yourself, even if it's a staycation at home. Like, I love when you give yourself such dedicated time to rest and have fun and restore yourself that you're like, wait, not only was that a great time off, but I'm feeling the impact of it in my life, like getting back into my routines. So I'll do a full recap for you guys. That will be coming soon to my stories. I still need to like recap that for you guys on my stories, but I am excited to just kind of like share a bit of my takeaways from that. But without further ado, let's get into today's episode. So I have a great friend of mine, Brooke Bavesky, aka Chef Bay, aka Mayor of Erewhon here. I am so happy to have this conversation. I'm so excited for you guys to listen because she is a private celebrity chef. If you don't know her, she's really blown up in the social media space around private chefing. And really, I was so excited to have her on the show today to talk a lot about her food philosophy. So fun fact, Brooke and I actually know each other from back in the day at college. We both went to Syracuse. We were both in the same sorority. And we chat a lot about really how she got into the food space, how she got into the private chefing space. And also we talk a lot about like her food philosophy in terms of like what she cooks and why. And I love it because we both discovered on the show, you'll hear in the interview, we're both soy-free girls. We both have soy allergies. And so a lot of her cooking is very allergy-friendly, gluten-free, soy-free, dairy-free, refined, sugar-free. And she gets very much into her philosophy around that. And we talk a ton about wellness culture, really the best ways that you can shop for food mindfully and how you can really cook for yourself in a way that's easy. Like, I think what I love so much about her cooking is, yes, like she has the capabilities and you'll see her like do these crazy amazing meals for people, but she also is so good at the basics. And I have had the pleasure of having had her cooking too. And like she'll just like crush it on like making like Brussels sprouts. And you're like, what? That was the best Brussels sprout I've had in my life. So anyways, I just really like her take. She shares a lot of tips on how you guys can actually begin to create amazing meals for yourself, what her like hacks are. She has some really, really good kind of like quick and scrappy hacks that I had never heard of or thought of myself. So you'll have a lot of takeaways there. And yeah, we just talk a lot about food and just, you know, how we can begin to nourish ourselves, nourish our bodies. And I just know that this is going to be an episode that resonates with you guys a ton. So with that said, please welcome Brooke Bavsky, aka Chef Bae, to the Bedside Podcast.
Hi, Brooke. Welcome to Bedside. I'm so thrilled to have you here. Also, aka Brooke, Chef Bae, Mayor of Erewhon, all the things.
Thank you for having me. This is so fun. You're the cutest. And the jumpsuit.
Guys, I was like, Brooke is coming. Like, I need to be wearing a jumpsuit. Also, you have a jumpsuit line now.
Love it. I'm the jumpsuit connoisseur at this point, I know. Honestly. But my jumpsuits launched 2 weeks ago on Shopify, and I'm so excited. I've taken everything. I've tried every jumpsuit at this point. So I took what I love about jumpsuits, the quality, fit, camel toe issues, everything, and then made just the perfect jumpsuit. It took 2 years.
Did it?
But I have two styles and I'm obsessed. So I'm very excited.
Yay. We'll have to like maybe, we'll definitely link it in the show notes, but I'm like, I want to give listeners a code or something. That would be so fun to like shop the jumpsuits.
Oh, that would be so fun.
Maybe we could maybe do something like Bedside and like
10%. Yeah, the use code Bedside for 10% off. Yeah.
That could be fun. Okay, yeah. We'll figure it out.
Okay. I got to make a custom promo code. Bedside for 10% off. Hit me up.
Okay, guys. So Brooke and I go way fucking back. And I feel like we need to start at our origin story, which is we met at Syracuse rushing and we pledged the same sorority, which is wild. And I feel like so much has happened since then, but like I was literally giggling, like Brooke's entire food philosophy right now is so like different from what we were literally doing in college. Like the cafeteria food situation, drunk food situation to like literally how you cook now could not be more different.
Oh yeah, it was nuts. I look back at what we ate and just drank, whatever. I don't really drink now, but now when I walk by a liquor store or something and I see that grapefruit Svedka, it brings me back to Syracuse where I'm like in my dorm and I'm like, but yeah, my superlative when I graduated in Alpha Phi, our sorority was most likely to have a show on the Food Network.
Shut up.
So like manifesting that. Yeah. On the little presentation.
Oh, that's already like in the work. I feel like that's like in motion. That has to manifest. But okay. Tell me a little bit more about kind of like your origin of like getting, I know you studied like food sciences. Like, I just want to hear more about like how you just like found yourself in the food space and like what got you so excited about it.
I've always been interested in food. I think even my parents' friends, my best friend's parents growing up would say when I went over their house to have a play date, all I would say was, can we cook something? Can we bake something? That's only one. Everyone's memory of me is wanting to cook and bake. So I've always been obsessed with food. Once I was old enough to reach the kitchen counter on a step stool, I was helping my bubby make food for the holidays. And I was just enamored with food. It was all I was thinking about. I swear my parents thought I was going to be 700 pounds when I grew up because all I talked about was food. But at that point, you know, this is 2010, 2014, if you wanted to go into the food world, you worked your way up in a restaurant, you went from high school to culinary school to restaurant, or you worked in a hotel hospitality setting. And I was like, that sounds miserable. That sounds like those chef shows that are actually real where you get screamed at in this male-dominated environment. I would cry.
Yeah.
And I never really wanted to make the same thing twice. So my parents were like, good luck, go to business school, maybe study food science. So
you're like, I don't want to be making the same dish like every day vibes.
Like, yeah. They were like, that career doesn't exist. And at that time, it didn't.
Wow.
And also my creative outlet growing up was cooking for my family who had 8 different allergies among the 5 of us. So that was
before allergies were cool.
Yeah, before allergies were cool. So
not like they're cool, but I
was making recipes that had, you know, that were gluten-free and dairy-free and refined sugar-free. And my mom has celiac and I can't have soy. And I was ordering nutritional yeast off of weird websites before it was cool and making almond milk before it was in stores. And that was so interesting to me. And now it's just exploded. But yeah, I went to Syracuse, studied business and communications, food science, product development. And as I was graduating, a guy from BuzzFeed came in to a new house class, actually, the communication school. And he did this video demo for BuzzFeed Tasty, where hands were in a recipe video and light bulbs went off in my head. And I changed my entire career path because I was like, this is going to explode and this is what I want to do.
I remember those Tasty videos. And that had such a chokehold. Yeah. But that's such a specific era.
Yeah. And he started food on the internet. He was given a budget of $25 at BuzzFeed to start a new video platform. And then everyone kind of copied him. Mm-hmm. But I was some of the women's hands in those videos. And it was just like, it was the best thing ever. And it spearheaded my career. I was like, I can go into food. This is what I want to do. Food on the internet. Social media is going to explode. So I did it. And my early posts on my Instagram are from in my college apartment with weird lighting and weird positioning. And I didn't know what I was doing, but I started somewhere. I was like, it's going to be something.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember these like videos, or not even videos, they were just like food dishes that you would post, and like people would be like, I'm getting my birthday cake made from you, and like you'd make people's like birthday cakes. It was so cute.
It was so fun. I just was obsessed with food. I just had to go into food. I couldn't go any other way, but I thought I was going to have to be in fashion before this guy, Scott Loich, came into this class because I was creative. I liked product development, and you know, I didn't want to just go to culinary school and be a line cook.
Yeah.
So he changed my life.
That's so amazing. Okay, so tell me more about like your food philosophy. Like, I'm curious to get more into this like soy-free, dairy-free, because it wasn't until I studied abroad in London that I discovered that I had a soy allergy because, Brooke, I couldn't really, like my whole life I've been a little like dairy intolerant. I'm not like fully lactose intolerant, but very sensitive, kind of avoided at all at like most costs. And so when I was in London, I would go to Starbucks every day and get a soy latte every fucking morning. And then like being in London too, all the food is like some sort of like Asian mix. Like they love just like riffing off of that. And so everything was just pumped with soy. I was eating like tons of tofu and I was loving it, but I was so upset. And it wasn't until I came back where I was like, everything is so messed up. Like, my stomach is so unhappy. And then I realized I had a soy allergy. Or I don't even know if I maybe just like perpetuated it. But I'm just so curious to know like how you got into all of these different, like really the allergy space and kind of like your philosophy around it and like how we should be navigating it.
That is so funny. I also, so my soy allergy is the same thing. I went to Starbucks and was getting soy lattes. And randomly, I also studied abroad in London. So it's also London, which is like very weird. Maybe it's something in the London soy milk. But I was on the phone with my friend and I was like, oh, it's so annoying that, you know, every time you drink soy milk, your throat gets kind of numb. And she's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, it's kind of like when you eat pineapple and, you know, you get that like tickle in your throat, but it really turns numb. She's like, you're allergic to soy. And then my rashes went away and it was magical. Yeah. But my whole philosophy of catering to dietary needs and restrictions started with how I grew up, with my family having a million allergies. And then also just the idea of healthy cooking in general. I grew up outside of Springfield, Massachusetts, which has a 25 to 30% food insecurity rate. Mm-hmm. So that means 25 to 30% of children and families don't know when their next meal is coming. They live off of school subsidized lunches, fast food, food stamps. And this was devastating to me. I mean, I always just get teary-eyed when I talk about it. And it's, I always grew up with a roof over my head and food in the fridge, and I never had to worry about that. And that's such a privilege, but many people don't have that. So I started an after-school program at my community center, teaching these inner city children about making nutritious meals in a very limited budget, how to best utilize food stamps. Then when I moved to New York after college, I started an after-school program with the Henry Street Settlement, teaching a very similar program, a free after-school program that I founded, led, instructed. We would go to farms to show where food comes from. We would go to farmers markets to utilize food stamps because they go farther at farmers markets than grocery stores. Mm-hmm. We'd make meals. They would bring in their parents or grandparents, and we'd make meals on a very limited budget. I would teach the importance of a healthy diet, and this just became so important. So everything I've done in the food world, I mean, while now I cater to the richest people on the planet, so I very much see this dichotomy.
Yes.
But everything I've done in the food world has been in the health food world. I've worked in corporate product development, doing healthier food products for Starbucks with the Egg Bites and Simple Mills and Hugh Kitchen. And yeah, they should be cottage cheese bites because the first ingredient is cottage cheese.
Wow.
Cottage cheese before it was cool.
All right. There you go.
But yeah, then it's led here to very expensive Erewhon halls and making healthy food for the richest people on the planet. But I get so many comments like, how can you, you know, spend $3,000 at Erewhon? People are dying. I'm like, these are actually the people that are helping me fund my nonprofits and sponsoring my cooking classes and giving me hydroponic gardens to grow food in classrooms for these kids. So I was like, honestly, their hearts are in good places.
Yeah, you're like, what goes around comes around.
Yeah.
And also, I'm like, guys, you just have that budget and see what you would do with your food.
Exactly. When there's, what's that TikTok? It's like, if I won the lottery, no one would know, but there'd be signs. Yes. It would just be me at Erewhon. Like,
yes. Like,
it's so true.
Yeah. So I guess I also am curious to kind of get an understanding of like, kind of like shopping at places like Erewhon and like having access to like certain types of foods. What are your tips for people who are like, okay, well, I'm not in LA. I don't have an Erewhon, or like my best bet is like Trader Joe's or like the farmer's market. Like, what's kind of your tips on how we can shop for just like better ingredients, but we're like normal or we just don't have like access to all these resources?
I love breaking the stigma that healthy, nutritious food does not need to be expensive. And also catering to dietary needs doesn't need to be disgusting. It can be indulgent, beautiful, sexy, satisfying, and healthy at the same time. I think learning the basics, I mean, I think Trader Joe's, basic grocery stores are great for organic produce. I think when you buy food in season at a farmer's market, you get so much for your money. I mean, at Trader Joe's, you get a little package of fresh mint for $3. I got 3 bundles of mint for $1.50 because it's in season. It grows like a weed. So shopping local, shopping in season, and just thinking about prepping the basics. When you buy things prepared, that's when costs go up.
I mean, like the pre-cut watermelon.
Yeah, exactly. For $15. And exactly. So it's really investing your time into your health, but spending 3 hours on a Sunday goes so far. And also prepping healthy food that is appealing to you. If you just prep healthy food and it doesn't look appealing and you're like, I should be eating this, you're going to still order takeout. It should be prepped and just as convenient as grabbing takeout or grabbing a snack from your pantry. Because if it's just as convenient, then you're just as likely to reach for something healthy, nutritious, and satisfying as something, you know, indulgent or kind of junk food that's in the pantry that's just kind of a grab and go thing.
Mm-hmm.
But basics, I mean, not overthinking anything for chicken. When people are like, I don't even know where to start. I'm like, olive oil, salt, and pepper.
Yeah.
Roast it in the oven and shred it and just keep it plain. And then throughout the week, it could be chicken salad. It can go in chicken soup. It can go in a chicken quesadilla.
Enchiladas.
Exactly. You can just put it into anything. It can go on top of a salad. It can go into a chili. It's just a plain source of protein. And if you're starving, eat it as is. Yeah. Like it's, yeah. Doesn't need to be complicated. Throwing it on a sheet pan, throwing frozen vegetables that are actually, I think there's a stigma around frozen food. Frozen fruits and vegetables are so nutritious. They're cheap for organic, and they're picked at their peak ripeness. So their nutrition value is so high. Take frozen veggies, put them on a sheet pan, olive oil, simple seasonings, roast at 400 with your chicken. And in 10 minutes, you have 3 meal prep meals for no effort, and it's something.
Oh, I love that. Oh my gosh. That sounds so delicious. What are your like foundations to kind of like, I mean, you could speak specifically to your diet or maybe how you work with other clients. I'll give you kind of like an example. Recently, I feel like there's been such an emphasis on protein these days and like really prioritizing that. But I'm not even kidding, Brooke. I think in the last month and a half, I like kind of allow myself to eat what I want, but I like reoriented the hierarchy of things. Like, I am eating much more protein and prioritizing much more fat, and like everything else kind of falls like after that. And I cannot tell you, and I know it's like case specific, but I cannot tell you how good I feel. I'm bouncing off the walls. My menstrual cycle has never been better. I was like, oh, this has literally made me so chill, and like I don't have PMS and all these things. So I'm curious to know, like, have you noticed any of these like benefits from like really your food philosophy? Is there a way that you really build out people's plates when you're working with them?
For sure. I think there's nothing more satisfying in your job, whether it's for yourself or for a client, when they're like, I had gut issues, my skin was breaking out, you know, I wasn't happy with X, Y, and Z, and you heal it through food.
Yes.
There's nothing more satisfying. I mean, they'll come to you and be like, can you add charcoal? Can you add this? I heard about this magical superfood. And I'm like, no, let's go cut to the basics, you know, water, what are you drinking? Are you having coffee first thing in the morning? Sleep schedule, everything. Yes, food is the basis. You said it perfectly, is the basis for skin, gut health, menstrual cycle, weight management. Something funny with TikTok is people are like, oh my God, I want to get into private chefing because I can just, you set up a camera and you have so much fun and you spend $1 million there one, and then you go into a kitchen and it's like dancing with your jumpsuits. And I'm like, not at all. There's so much that goes behind the scenes with planning, meal prepping. I started with professional athletes in the NBA and NFL because my background was food science and holistic nutrition, which is what I went to culinary school for. And I would work with assistants, managers, nutritionists, trainers to curate perfect diets for athletes. Because, you know, models want to stay hot for the runway. Actors need to look a certain way. But athletes, peak performance is absolutely everything. Yes. So they would say, you know, I need a high protein, no nightshade, low inflammatory diet. They can't have nuts. They're sensitive to cashews. And everything has to be warm. Just, I've heard it all. And I would this custom diet where they count every macro, every calorie, everything. And I'm like, there is so much planning behind the TikTok that goes on with curating these custom diets.
Yeah.
So yeah, that background, but really it matters when you use good oils, high quality ingredients, you really feel better.
Yeah. Let's talk about seed oils. I feel like this is like all the rage these days. Like, what are your do's and don'ts with oils?
Seed oils and gut health is the hottest thing.
Yeah.
Hot. For seed oils, I don't do seed oils. Mm-hmm. I think if you're at a restaurant and they're going to cook French fries in a seed oil, stressing about it does more than just, you know, enjoy it.
Yeah.
There is, a benefit to this 80-20 rule. But for the most part, if you're cooking at home, extra virgin olive oil. If you're cooking on high heat, avocado oil. So non-highly processed, non-seed oils. Cold pressed sesame oil for dressings is great. I've recently discovered algae oil.
What?
Which is very interesting. It can go up to 550 degrees. It's a non-processed oil that has a very neutral flavor, like a vegetable oil or an avocado oil. And I love it.
Oh my gosh.
And it's non-processed, great for the planet in terms of how it's processed. But algae oil.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Where are you picking that up?
I was sent some by a couple of brands.
Okay.
I mean, not sponsored, by Zero Acres Algae Oil. and I actually really liked it. I recently used it and I think it's amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow.
I think oils are a big thing. Fermented foods are also a huge trend for prebiotics, probiotics, gut health.
Yeah, I'm curious, like, what your clients are asking. Like, you're literally on the cusp. I mean, LA is like the epicenter of wellness. I mean, it's like the fucking wellspring of it. And I feel like you're literally in the kitchen of these people. So what is it? Like, what are they asking for? Are you educating them? Are they coming to you with kind of like, no, this is the wellness trend I want to follow. Like, please build around this. I'm so curious.
I mean, I've seen every single trend. You know, there used to be keto, then it was paleo, then it was charcoal because Kylie Jenner was putting charcoal in everything. And I'm like, it's damaging your tooth enamel and your body and please your body of everything. Stop with the charcoal. Then now it's Ozempic.
Yeah.
So there's always some kind of trend. It's like the fix it all, lose weight, magic, whatever. I've seen every allergy, every dietary restriction, allergies to cold water. It's called calcarea. I have seen it. People eating things at certain temperatures, things that can't, like my food can't be touched by lasers, like in the grocery store. And I'm like, it makes no sense. But at the end of the day, it just comes down to prioritizing veggies, healthier lifestyle. It's one unit with how you live your life, sleep, hormone balancing, food, you know, how you look. It's 70-30. 70% is food, 30% is lifestyle, sleep, working out. So it really comes down to balanced meals, high protein, limiting processed foods and sugars. No matter what the trend is, there's always something new. I just hope it's no longer Ozempic after,
I know.
Everyone's like, there's no magical cure to just lose weight.
Yeah.
There isn't.
I know. I'm like really scared of the side effects of like what people are going to experience from Ozempic. Like, I don't know.
But for some people, you know, diabetics, it's a great drug.
Sure.
But I think, it's like a trend in Hollywood. And
I know.
Some of my clients, they like will eat like this tiny little portion of food. And I'm like, oh no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I think I see it. Murano's epic. What are, in terms of like the way that even like you eat and like the benefits you felt, like, was there like a big transformation for you, whether it was like skin or just like how you felt? Like, was there a moment where you were like, oh, this is actually like working? Like, I feel amazing.
Starting my day with a symbiotic, so a pre and a probiotic on an empty stomach, that was amazing. And I tell a lot of my clients about that. Water before coffee. I switched to matcha instead of coffee.
Really? You're not drinking coffee?
No. I was really sensitive to caffeine, but I really like matcha, antioxidants, less jittery. I didn't get like a caffeine crash. Just, and then always carrying a massive water with me.
Yeah.
I mean, people have those Stanley cups. I have like a gallon of water usually in my car.
Yeah.
Just, I'm always drinking water. But the, anything with your skin is usually a direct reflection of your gut health. So, you know, if you're breaking out, or it could be, you know, stress, hormone imbalance, poor gut health. So always listening to your body, because things can get, you know, especially being an entrepreneur, things can get stressful and you sacrifice. The first thing you sacrifice is sleep, or cutting corners with, you know, snacking instead of making good meals, and putting that effort into yourself is the best thing.
Do you meal prep all your meals?
So, I mean, to be honest, sometimes I get back from a client's house after 20 hours and I'm so tired. I eat a can of chickpeas and I fall asleep. I'm not going to lie. There are those days. Usually I'll eat.
Do you roast them, or like you take it?
Sometimes I'm just like in the can, like hearts of palm dipped in marinara sauce in my fridge, and I fall asleep. Because usually sometimes I'll eat what I have at the client's house, but those will be my most famous recipes usually that they'll recommend. And at this point, I've cooked them hundreds, if not thousands of times. And I just, they're delicious, but I cannot look at them. I can't smell them anymore.
Yeah.
So then I just kind of eat whatever.
Yeah.
So the Instagram versus reality of like what I cook and what I make sometimes is crazy, but I do try to practice what I preach and just have a roasted protein, some things. I think I utilize my freezer more than my fridge. My fridge is usually tons of drinks. And then my freezer, which I think people don't hype up enough, because it keeps food for 6 months. And I never know if I'm traveling or can't eat something. It prevents me from having to throw food away. I'll make something, cool it, and then directly put into the freezer. Mm. So I'll make grain-free burritos. I'll make chicken and rice, whatever. And then I know if I don't eat it this week, or I need to travel, or I need to do something, or my day gets busy, it's good for 6 months. So I kind of make my own frozen meals, and that's been really good.
Yeah, I feel like that's the hack for you.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, I know I have whatever in the freezer.
And the microwave, honestly, if I have 3 minutes, I've made a homemade flaxseed English muffin in the microwave, an egg in the microwave, and then you make a sandwich in the microwave, like from scratch. And it's very easy.
Do you have a video on this?
I need to, honestly.
Okay, like go home and do this later.
Yeah, yeah. I really, really need to, but yeah. Exactly.
I love that. Oh my God, that's so creative. I still have yet to get a microwave, Brooke. Like I'm reheating everything on the stove, which is like at this point in my life, so inconvenient. Like I just need to.
Do you feel like you're living in the 1700s?
Yes. Like
with like your like bonnet.
Yeah. Like putting more oil in, like stirring. Like it's so inconvenient. Like it's outrageous that I don't have one. It's been like 4 years that I haven't had one.
I love cold food over hot food, but you need a microwave for heating water in 2 seconds. I mean, honestly, now I'm cooking eggs in the microwave on an emergency. My thing is dumping 2 eggs in a mug, salt, pepper, put it in the microwave, and you have 2 eggs.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's I do it all the time when I'm like an emergency snack. Yeah. Microwaves, always.
I'm an emergency snack girl. Like I need to eat frequently. But the protein's helped. Like I'm not dropping blood sugar as fast. You know what you've got me on? I now fully make my own almond milk.
Wow. Do you do the hack with the nut butter and water?
Well, you taught me the nut butter and water hack, which I want you to explain to people. Very simple. But now I'm actually like, I took it a step further, because I'll prep it for the week. I'll like soak the almonds, blend them up, filter that, whatever. And like, it's amazing.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Would you use the, what is it? Like the almond cow or whatever it's called?
What is that? Like a machine?
You put in the water and the nuts, and then it makes a machine.
I do it by hand. Again, we're the 17th century over at my house. Like 1700s. I'm like heating my food up like on the stove, making my own almond milk.
No, I love that. I remember when you used to work for the wellness, I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah. When you used to work for another company, you told me, you're like, yeah, I went to the store and I bought this really bad almond milk that had gums and oils in it. And like the one thing I look forward to in the morning is my latte.
Yes.
And, you know, now it's ruined because I went cheap on the milk. Yes. And I remember you saying
yes,
that
I
to me.
Yes, I went cheap on the milk.
Yeah, you're like, why did I do that? That was my moment of happiness. And I was like, my hack, there is very expensive almond milks out there. I mean, the ones at Erewhon go to $20 for, you know, half a third of a gallon.
Yeah.
But a tablespoon of creamy natural nut butter, smooth, like almond butter, you can make peanut milk, you can make anything. And then a gallon of water, a little bit of vanilla, salt, just blend it. You don't have to strain, you don't have to soak. In a pinch, that's really what it is.
Oh, yeah. I literally did it the other week. I was like, I'm out of milk. I'm not buying it. Let me just whip this right up.
How was it?
It was great. It was delicious.
Yeah, in a pinch, it's what, 20 cents a gallon to do that?
Yeah,
it's so cheap, you guys. And it's delicious. Like, you can't go wrong. Okay, what are your tips for, you're speaking to a total sweet tooth. So what are your tips for, like, just allowing yourself the sweet treat, but, like, give me your hacks around it. Because I don't want to, like, run to the store all the time to, like, get something that, like, then becomes so much more indulgent than I wanted it to be. Like, what are your tips around a sweet treat?
I have a sweet tooth too.
Yeah.
Cookies over French fries any day. I can eat an entire cookie cake or bag of granola myself. I cannot have it in the house. I would say dates. I like focusing on unprocessed, unrefined sugars. And the less you eat processed and refined sugars, the more sweet natural sugars taste.
Mm-hmm.
So fruit will start to taste sweeter and better. But I think a great alternative, dates. I think dates, even if you have no time to make a dessert, because who has time to be like, let's make these cookies or another protein bite that I found on TikTok that someone's posting about, a date, dip it in nut butter and then a little sprinkle of sea salt or cacao nibs. Outstanding. Takes 2 seconds to make. Has fiber and tons of minerals and nutrients that it'll be very, very satisfying. When it comes to desserts, when it has refined sugars, it's just addictive. It spikes your blood sugar and you eat so much because you're not satisfied from it.
Yes.
So volume, you can also just like you can volume eat veggies and good proteins because so much, a ton of unprocessed, delicious produce is the same amount of calories as like a handful of peanuts or a handful of M&Ms. You can also volume eat with really nutritious sweet food. So really good, like a giant fruit plate with, I take unsweetened coconut yogurt and I'll mix a little vanilla protein powder in there and a little stevia and vanilla, and it makes like a vanilla Cool Whip kind of. And I dip fruit in that. So you can make a giant plate of that and it's 30 grams of protein and 200 calories. Or the dates.
I love dates. Same. I've been like incorporating them more.
They're so good. The date bark trend, I'm all over it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so good.
So good. I know we touched a little bit on more like celebrity clients and like what's kind of trending in the wellness space. But like if we come back down to a little bit more of like what I've been noticing everyday people doing, like I know a lot of people are drinking like Elements or like electrolytes, or like I'm kind of curious, or even like really prioritizing protein powders, whey versus pea protein. Like what are your takes on all of these kind of like more, I know there's always a trend, but like, what are your takes on protein powders or like having these very sodium dense elements?
Unless you're sweating profusely, you're doing hot yoga, you really don't need those electrolyte packets that have tons and tons of sodium. Sometimes I'll take a third of a packet.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those electrolyte packets have 1,000+ milligrams of sodium.
It's crazy, Brooke. So, I noticed myself even before you even mentioned that, like, I just naturally only put in the tiniest little bit. I'm like, it's way too much.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
And I believe in, you know, supplements and our soil can be depleted, but there's so many things that people will sell you on, these fancy electrolytes and these superfood powders and these collagen blends. And yeah, there's, you can go back to the basics with meal prep and diet and get a lot of those nutrients and things yourself, or some things are not necessary. Protein powders, I think there's really good clean protein powders out there. If you're going to buy a protein powder, spend that extra $10 or $15 on that tub of protein powder because it doesn't have you. Otherwise, you're paying for fillers, you're paying for gums, you're paying for powdered sunflower seed oil and hydrogenated palm oil that's just filling it up. And it's just extra body. It's like buying a giant jug of laundry detergent versus like a pod of dehydrated laundry detergent. And you're paying for water or chemicals to just kind of fill it. And it looks like it's more, but it's not.
Yeah.
So I think Sprout Living is a great protein powder. NewFix is a great protein powder. Something that's really clean. And also, if it's plant-based, make sure it's not just pea protein. That's not a complete protein. It should be pea and brown rice or hemp. It can be soy protein if you can have soy, but making sure not just pea. And if it's whey protein, it should be grass-fed and finished whey protein.
Okay.
Otherwise, you know, there could be hormones and you just really want it to be high quality. But I think protein powder is great on the go. Another hack that I have, if I don't have a microwave and I have 2 seconds, I always have packets of protein powder in my car and I'll take a water and I'll shake it with protein powder and I'll make a shake.
Mm-hmm.
I always need some kind of emergency high protein option. And I think that's great.
That's amazing. Also, I'm glad you mentioned you're spend the extra money on the protein powder because I feel like I skimp out. But you, when I last saw you, you gave me the mini packets of protein. I think it was the Sprout Living.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, where have I been? This protein powder is amazing.
It's so good.
And also, I just love that they came in the smaller packets too. That's so smart to keep that just emergency in your car. I'm envisioning your car. It's a gallon of water. You have your in your glove compartment.
There's a chef's knife in there. Yeah. If someone stopped me on the street and was like, can I open up your purse? And what's in your bag?
Let me preface, I'm a personal chef.
Yeah, I would be like, here's a knife. Here's another knife. Here's protein powder. Here's a banana. Here's a can opener. An extra jumpsuit. I have three jumpsuits in my car at all times.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
It's hysterical.
Yeah, that is hysterical. But no, I really appreciate that. I'm truly such a snack girl and I struggle. And sometimes I there are times in my life I'm prepped with them and I'm good about it. But other times I'm scrambling and then I eat something that is just so not satiating. And I love the idea of just having kind of these, I don't know, just being 10% more prepared with having the little protein, whatever. You know what I've been so into are those chomps. I don't know if you have a hot take on those or not, but I've been loving them because I'm just this is just such a good protein intake, quick and easy. And I'm not last minute. Well, now Starbucks has the egg bites, but I don't know. Sometimes you catch yourself at Starbucks being I'm just going to get this coffee cake or whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly. I think just being chomps, emergency protein powder packets. There's nothing more frustrating than being I'm on my grind, I'm eating so healthy. Mm-hmm. And then you're starving and you have 4 hours before you can get to food and you're so busy and you're shoot, all there's to eat here is a Rice Krispie treat or something that's just disgusting. And you're oh, that's annoying because I'm going to be hungry again in an hour and here's half my day's calories and a piece of cake. That's all that's there. And that happens a lot. So, you know, life gets in the way. Sometimes meal prep is unrealistic or you forget or your day gets ahead of you and you just get starving. Having some kind of non-perishable protein, something in your car, the meat stick, something is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So we got you're doing your microwave meals. You've got freezer on deck, you're ready to go. But when you're doing work with clients or let's say someone actually does have a couple hours on a Sunday that they're eager to dedicate to meal prepping. What are your tips around that? Should we be buying containers? Should we be focusing on getting a couple different proteins at the store? I'm just curious, your high level takes on meal prepping if we wanted to get started.
I think with meal prepping, make it as convenient as possible. If you're going to do some mix and match things, keep them very simple and basic. But if you have something that's just ready to eat as is, that's all prepared, it'll be so inviting. You'll have, you have your salad with the prepared dressing and everything already on it. So you're not opening up everything in your fridge and having to reassemble things, but figure out what you're actually craving and what you want. You know, you'll be like, oh, I should be eating chicken breast and broccoli. But if you know deep down in your soul, you're not going to crave that and you really want Mexican food, meal prep a healthier version of Mexican food because that's going to be 10 times better than ordering it in. It's going to be, maybe it's a little less healthy than a plain steamed chicken breast and broccoli, but you'll actually eat it. So you could do some black beans, veggie heavy. With meal prep, it should be 50% veggies. And then I would say 25% protein, 30% protein, and that 20% or whatever of a good nutritious carb.
Mm-hmm.
So balance, a little healthy fat. And then also with meal prep, I only prep maybe 3-4 days max.
Yeah. Because you don't want to over.
Yeah. You know, after a while it becomes unappetizing. The food isn't as fresh and you don't want to eat the same thing 100 times. So mixing it up, you know, you don't need to spend hours making a million of the same meal. You can kind of, you know, make a couple of this, a couple of that, do what you're really craving. And then also with meal prep, there are going to be weeks where you don't have time or you have extra food. Freeze. If I do have an entire day to meal prep, there's also days, you know, you're just in the mood, it's raining outside, you can spend 8 hours in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Then you can meal prep for a month. That's the best feeling. You can make 6 different recipes, 10 containers of each recipe, and then put some in the fridge, some in the freezer, and you're done. That's just chef's kiss. That's the best.
That's amazing. Okay, Brooke, tell me about like what are basically your current like routines. Like we can get more like wellnessy versus just food, but like I'm curious to know like what you're personally loving these days. I'll give you an example. Like I've been mouth taping and I'm obsessed with it. Have you heard of mouth tape?
So you just breathe out of your nose when you sleep, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I feel like I've heard a couple different like podcasters talk about it. And I'm like, I've just like heard it on shows that I realized I was in denial for forever. But I was like, I am totally like a half mouth breather. Like I wasn't like sleeping there with a gaping mouth open. But like ever since I've been using mouth tape, I've literally changed everything. So anyways, I'm just curious
to
know.
I can't breathe that much.
Yeah. Like, you're like, maybe I am a mouth breather.
I'm such a mouth breather. How do you breathe just in with your nose? Do you feel like you're lightheaded?
I don't know. Not really.
Wow. So you just tape your mouth the whole night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's crazy. I think the Skinny Confidential just came out with a new mouth tape. I got my hands on someone gave it to me for free and I was like, oh, so I've been using that one. But otherwise I've been using ones from Amazon and stuff.
Interesting. Okay. I have to try that.
Yeah.
I like the red light mask.
Oh,
I recently got on that hype.
I've been dying for one. Do you have the Dr. Dennis Gross one?
I think it's Sun Life. Okay. But the Dr. Dennis Gross is also great. Red light, blue light. The blue light's great for acne, killing bacteria on your face. And then the red light, it just puts me to sleep. It's so relaxing.
Oh, I need this.
If it does anything, I love that. And I just wear it to bed. It's just something that's like at the end of the night, I've been loving. Slugging at night, a good oil on your skin.
Mm-hmm.
Just really good hydration. Clean makeup.
Oh, interesting.
Has been really big. So I throw out a lot of makeup with talc and stop like artificial colors in it. And I switch to good makeup, which I think actually looks better.
Do you cold plunge and stuff? Cold plunge and sauna?
I've done cold plunge twice. I don't know. I don't like being in water when I don't have to. I like to shower.
I know. I'm the same way.
Yeah. I was the girl in high school where my rabbi faked a did me a solid and said I was religious and couldn't swim with boys, which was not true. I was like kissing boys. But so I did weights on the side of the pool with all like the Muslims and me and like the religious Jewish guys because I hated swimming that bad begged my rabbi to write me that note. I hate getting in pools of water when I don't have to. And that's transferred to the cold plunge.
You're like, so I will not be cold plunging.
Yeah. No, I can't.
I need to give you though the name of, because I've been going to the Korean spa lately. I don't know if you've ever been.
Was that the one where you're naked?
Yeah, you are naked.
I've heard of that.
Yeah.
Wow, crazy.
I know, kind of crazy. But I feel like you would love it. Maybe minus the like cold. But do you like hot tubs and stuff, or like really just no water?
I like showers. I shower. Okay. Shower.
Like I'm clean. You.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't like sitting in like a pool or going in the ocean or anything.
Yeah. I respect that.
Yeah.
I respect that. The ocean here is also like icky. I was like telling, I feel like when people visit from out of town, they're like, do you go swimming in like the LA ocean? I'm like, so not really.
Yeah. You gotta get enough microplastics in the environment anyway. Yeah. I don't need to like swim in them.
Yeah. Yeah. Brooke, tell me like what is, so I know you just came out with these jumpsuits, but tell me what else is like coming down the line. I'm ready for, I need a cookbook from you. Are you working on a cookbook?
Meeting with publishers. I'm trying to find that best deal because right now it's so frustrating when I'll do cooking demos, I'll do cooking classes, and then there's a cookbook signing and like all these chefs are signing cookbooks. I'm like, I just need something to sign.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I've had the jumpsuits. I have my product in Erewhon. I'm like, I just need the cookbook.
Yeah.
I just need a cookbook because it takes a while. So meeting with publishers, fingers crossed, but I have an online subscription on my Instagram. So I'm doing monthly live cooking demos and classes, exclusive recipe content.
Love.
So building that community of jumpsuit loving health food, loving food base. And we have a group chat. So someone will be like, my son is celiac and can't have almonds. What's a good cookie recipe? So it's lit.
Oh my gosh. I love that.
Yeah, the cookbook needs to happen. Doing more in the TV space, working more with brands for influencer dinners. I'm flying to Coachella next week to do a dinner with a makeup brand for their influencer dinner, utilizing the cool color palette and ingredients of their makeup line into the food. And some fun projects with content creators, which are just always so funny.
Yeah.
I got an ask to do a photo shoot with a hot shirtless male model yesterday. And I'm like, is this real life?
I love my job.
I was like, now I need to get hot.
You're like, but, yes.
Yeah, I was like, yes. How much am I paying to do this? Yeah. Like, they're paying you. I'm like, sweat.
I'm so excited. So, to see
yeah,
that.
I know. Some days I'm making paleo cookie cake, and then some days I'm now in a photo shoot with an oiled up shirtless hot guy. And I'm like, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. What is my life?
You really have such a fun life. I just love seeing you in like all these different like categories. You're like so thriving and it's just so fun. But anyways, thank you for coming on. This is such a treat. Most people know you already, but tell us where we can connect with you, find you online, subscribe to all the things.
Of course. So it's Chef Bae on YouTube. itschefbae.com is my website with recipes, how to contact me for private events and things. And on TikTok and Instagram, it's just Chef Bae.
Love.
Chef Bae. My last name is Baevsky. I'm not just calling myself Bae. I was Bae before Bae was a thing.
Yes. I love it. Thank you, Brooke, for coming on.
This is so fun. You're amazing.
You're amazing. Yay. Bye, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Bedside Podcast. I hope you loved this episode as much as we did making it. If you have any feedback, questions, or suggestions for future episodes, or if you just want to chat, don't hesitate to reach out to us at The Bedside on Instagram and thebedside.co online. You can also find us at By The Bedside on TikTok. To stay updated on our latest episodes, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your preferred platform. And if you found this episode valuable, I would so greatly appreciate if you could leave us a rating, a review, text it to a friend, share it to your Instagram stories. Let's get this message out there loud and clear. Until next time, thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll see you next week.